12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Welcome to The Foundlings, a 12-sided stories City of Mist actual play. As always, our games are story heavy and rules light. And now, introducing our master of ceremonies, Pooja Sharma.
Welcome to episode one of The Foundlings, our City of Mist actual play. I am Pooja, and I will be your master of ceremonies for this campaign. And I am joined by some amazing players today, who I will have introduce themselves, starting with Saint.
Hello. I, for some reason, didn't expect to be first, but I will take it. I will be playing our dear Bly Aglios. She is a professional musician who is a bit of a party animal and also loves literal animals a lot, thinks they're very cute. And I don't know how much we're supposed to reveal, so I'm going to end there. We'll see how the story moves on.
Hey, I will be playing Siobhan O'Neill. She also is an animal lover. And, you know, although a little antisocial, but with people, she absolutely adores animals. And that's all I'm going to say for now.
Hi, I'm Wes Otis, and I will be playing Noah Hurst, who is uptight and analytical and a prosecutor for the city. And that's all I'm going to say. Dun, dun, dun.
It's a very mysterious start.
Hey guys, I'm Mac. I don't know. Things are happening. We're playing a game. I've been, as of the recording, working on moving, so forgive me. But I'm playing Beatrice tonight, and that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to be uber mysterious.
The most mysterious.
I win.
Before we start, please consider supporting the show through Patreon or on ko-fi.com, spelled ko-fi. Now, on with the show.
Since everyone is such a mystery, we're going to get a little snapshot of a day in your lives. And might as well start with the most mysterious.
Oh, damn it. I set myself up.
So, B, tell me what you're doing at the beginning of this. Like, say, mid-morning. It's a perfectly average day for you so far.
So around mid-morning, I would be at the florists where I work. Probably will have worked on some flower arrangements, but business is not super steady. So in the interim time, I'm reading books on horticulture and trying to keep up on sort of the latest information where all things plants are concerned, because that is also what I have my degree in, is horticulture.
Okay. And when a customer walks in, what is the first thing that they notice about you?
I think the first thing that they notice is that I seem to blend in with the plants around me in some weird way. Like, they almost don't expect me to move and interact with them because I'm so just seems like I'm supposed to be a part of this landscape.
Oh, nice.
Which is strange because I am nothing if not a sucker for stereotype. Has blazing red hair and bright green eyes.
Ooh, love it. So what kind of plants do you specialize in at your shop?
Stuff that's a little bit more exotic. So you can go anywhere and get roses, but looking more towards arrangements with orchids or interesting types of lilies and various plants that you wouldn't really expect to see in a cityscape.
Great. So let's set the scene just a little bit, that you've got your books and your materials laid out around you. It's been a pretty average day so far. You've had a couple of people come in. There's one person who you're not 100% sure if he's ever consciously seen a flower before, but he knows that he definitely needs to pick up something special to dig himself out of the hole that he dug himself into. But at least it broke up the morning some, because, you know, Adam took about an hour and a half to pick out the perfect orchid that you finally basically just told him this was what he needed.
It was probably the first one that I showed him as well. And he said, no, 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 no. And then around the entire shop, we went to get back to the same damn flower.
Exactly. And I mean, but you did get to show off a little bit of all these different flowers, because he wanted the history and horticultural meaning of every flower that you showed. But in the end, you sold him a very nice orchid. You gave him your card so that later, when he inevitably kills it, he can come back and get another one. And his partner will hopefully be very happy with it. Let Adam, you know, out of the doghouse.
For now.
This time. But not too long after Adam leaves the shop with, you know, orchid and pamphlet on caring for orchids in hand, the front door jingles as another person comes in, and you look up and you think it's going to be, you know, another customer ready to put your customer service face on. But instead, it's Callie, who, as the light reflects off of your front door, you can see just a smattering of shining scales across the front of her face and neck, just where the light hits it quite right. And you know Callie because, thanks to your rift powers and the way that sometimes blending into the plants can be a really good thing, and sometimes putting down roots where you don't want them can be a bad thing, that Callie is part of a group called Frankenstein's Monsters, which could be ironic. Except they've had a couple of Frankenstein's monsters. And it's kind of a support group for rifts whose legends have taken on aspects that mess with their lives a lot more than they should. Nothing that really, like, impacts the normies around you. Nothing that they see. But it's definitely stuff that's given them a lot of problems in their day-to-day life. It's stuff that's interfering with their everyday or has given them powers that they're really, really struggling to control. And Callie comes into the shop. The light hits her for just a moment before she pulls her hood back up over her head so that she's a little bit more in shadow. And she comes up to you and says, B, there's a bit of scuttlebutt going around. Or go, you might want to go by Miss Lacey's place. And Miss Lacey is the woman who was your foster mother.
Well, first kudos for using scuttlebutt. It feels very piratey in here all of a sudden. But I can make some time to go by, but why?
You know, I don't know all the details, but I heard some people talking that it's kind of chaos over there right now. They got a call. Seth's been calling around the hospitals. And I don't know. I don't know all the deets, but I thought you should have a heads up. We all really like Miss Lacey. Like, you know, she's good to us too, even if we weren't necessarily into having a home there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. I should check this out. I really, thank you. I'm going to look into this right now.
Yeah, keep me posted.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, she means so much to so many of us.
You can see that she kind of wants to reach out to you. She wants to take your hand a little bit. She kind of doesn't. She does this weird, like, back and forth thing before she finally just turns around and leaves. And so, on that note, are you going to go right away, pack up the shop, or are you going to wait until the end of the day, or...?
It's going to be a handwritten note, you know, especially with a small business like this. It's pretty easy to put, you know, personal emergency, please come back tomorrow and the hours for the next day, or, you know, something like that, and just tape up the note inside the door and lock up and go.
Okay. So as you secure the shop, put away the books, mist the plants that need to be misted, we are going to cut over to Siobhan.
All right. I'm going through my day as usual at the animal shelter, and we deal with all sorts of animals, but it's a no-kill because I couldn't handle it if it was. Siobhan has, she's not very big. She's kind of a slight build. She's got long, dark hair, blue eyes, but her eyes are sort of unsettlingly blue, if that makes sense. It throws people off if they really look into her eyes. She usually wears black, even with all the animal fur. You know, she's feeding the animals and taking care of their needs and getting the ones to the vet that need to be gotten to the vet and, you know, her daily whatever and just keeping the animals company. And she just kind of gets them.
Okay. So as you go through your normal day, the guy who runs the front of the shelter, like the front desk, he needs to step away for a little bit. He asks you to cover for him. Which,
okay, I say sure, that's probably not an unusual thing.
Y'all are a pretty tight-knit group. For the most part, everyone gets along. There's always that one person. Thinks they're a vet. Isn't a vet. Got all their information from a series of terrible Google searches.
Yeah, there's always that one.
But this guy, Trevor, is not like that. So Trevor just needs to step away. He's going to take his lunch break. He asks you to cover the counter for him. So as you cover the counter and someone walks in and they are looking for just the perfect animal. They really want just to find the perfect dog who will be a companion, but, you know, not too big because they live in an apartment. You know how it is. You know, like, they wouldn't be opposed to getting a dog that they could, you know, carry in this ginormous purse that they have slung over their shoulder.
And I have to refrain from rolling my eyes.
And you notice that their outfit is kind of specific in its coordination.
Aha. Uh-huh. So the dog has to coordinate with the outfit. I take it.
They would never ask for that.
No. Not openly. Well, Siobhan does not like people like this. She does know the dogs do get spoiled and taken well, you know, they are taken care of. And it's a home and the dogs usually end up liking it. But, oh, God, these people. A dog is not an accessory. But, okay, so I show her back to where our smaller dogs are. And I say, I think I might have just the one. I show her this little Dachshund, who is a long-haired Dachshund that's black and brown. She's not too old. She's, you know, she's not a puppy, so she's been house trained. And she's got a great bill of health.
Oh, how did you know that black and brown are my favorite colors? They say as they wear their brown tracksuit with black piping, with the exact same shade of large leather purse.
And I look at them and I go, it must be destiny.
So they are very, very happy with their new dog. All dogs are puppers. Does not.
They are all puppies. All of them.
Doesn't really matter the age. And as go through, pay the adoption fee, the shelter is always kind of looking for cash, looking for more revenue sources. Like all shelters, never enough funding. So do you try to get more funding out of this person?
Of course. I say, oh, I'm so happy we could provide you, you know, with just the right pet. You're going to love her. She is just the sweetest thing in the world. You know, it's great. We always try and provide homes for these beautiful animals. It's just, you know, the costs get really high. And if you have any friends who are looking for animals or if you, you know, consider donating, it's a tax write-off.
Oh, you are right. And my partner is always asking me to find more causes. Something about taxes and charitable giving, whatever. It just all goes over my head. So I am going to have you do our first roll of the campaign real quick.
Oh, no.
And in this case, don't worry. They are very into making this donation, so you'll get it no matter what. But I'm going to have you roll a convince in order to see how much money you get for the shelter.
All right. Roll plus power. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so your power is going to be the number of power tags you have that would influence you convincing them to do what you want.
I'm going to say lend a hand and powers of deduction because I picked out the right colors and everything. So that's a 6.
Oh.
I know, just shy.
So I am going... Oh, let's take it back just a minute.
Okay.
Because you used your crew theme card to do your...
Oh, sorry.
Powers. So let's take it back real quick. And we're going to add in your... You're going to use your power card, your power tags from your theme card sheet.
Oh, okay.
And so obviously working at a shelter will count and you know the city well. So you know that this type of person and what their means are. You know what? Let's use another one from your routine that you blend in well. Because in this case, it means that you are embodying the perfect person for this shelter. You have picked up on all the necessary like fundraising lingo and all of that. So you're really like speaking this person's language.
Okay, so I had rolled a 4, so that would give me the 7.
Yep, there you go. So they write you a check immediately. Now that's a decent check. When it comes to them telling their friends about the shelter, they're going to hold off. They want to see exactly how good of a fit their new puppers, who... Someone help me with a name here real quick.
Senora.
Senora. Yeah.
They have a wonderful new... I mean, they're sure Senora is going to be great, but they're going to see how it works out before they tell their friends.
Of course, of course. And, you know, with me knowing the animals the way I do, I know Senora is perfect for this woman.
Absolutely. So, much to your chagrin, they walk out with Senora in their purse already.
Yeah, you know, it's probably a purse with the little peek out window that's designed just for dogs.
You would think so, but instead, like, they haven't gotten that quite yet. They weren't sure if they were going to find a puppy today. So it's an opening at the top and the little dog's hand has its chin just like she's just got her chin right up over the lip of the purse.
It's a coach bag, so it's the Ferrari of dog bags.
Yes. Absolutely, 100%. And as they walk out with their brand new best friend, you touch the choker around your neck just to adjust it a little bit, which that's kind of like an instinctive thing for you, right? Like, it's there, you wear it all the time, but almost like a unconscious just mannerism. And as you do, you get a flash that... You're about to get a phone call from Bly.
Okay.
And something has gone wrong at Miss Lacey's place. And you have very fond memories of Miss Lacey's because you also were there as a foster and she was great to y'all. And you've kept in touch with her, like, on and off, but she makes regular donations to the shelter for you. Like, it's always, you know, she's coming by to check in, check up on you. When you haven't called in too long, she'll let you know. So you just get, like, this flash that you should go over there.
Okay. Okay. So, I mean, does the phone ring?
I am going to... cut away from you for just a moment.
Okay.
As the phone starts to ring, you go to pick it up. And we are going to go over to Bly.
Yes.
So, Bly, it is mid-morning on what has started as an average day for you. And you're a musician. You work with animals, right? So tell me what that looks like.
So it's kind of a two-parter deal where I make the bulk of my money, all of my money, from performing in actual bars, maybe a small club that's around, and maybe a couple of live gigs, like out in the park, stuff like that. I've been part of a house band in the past, so kind of just working musician type deal. But I love working with animals at the shelter and at rehab centers, so maybe also farm animals in addition to cats and dogs and whatever, because they respond really well to music. And for some reason, my music, even the most kind of anxious and troubled, you know, little souls have been able to kind of relax and let a little bit go when listening to some of my songs. I really like using the harp for them, because it's usually you don't want to be blasting them out with a horn or something like that. And then in my, you know, day-to-day band such occupation, I've been playing a variety of instruments, but of course guitar and quite a few wind instruments have kind of been my specialty, including the flute, but not a lot of people really care about the flute these days, so whatever. Birds do, though. Birds like the flute. And so, yeah, in the morning, I'm probably hanging out, tuning the guitar, and maybe tuning into some radio, some of that lovely news morning radio that everybody else hates, like AM stuff. But I'm just like, what's happening with the economy? I don't know. I don't get it. I just love that background noise. And if I don't have a gig tonight, I will probably stop by the shelter and say hello to Siobhan and maybe play a little bit for the new puppies that are in, and or maybe for the geriatric dogs who need a little love. I love coming in and taking care of stuff like that.
That's awesome. So what is your day-to-day look like if someone were to come in when you were playing for the animals?
Well, if I were playing for the animals, I'd probably be like, what are you doing here? Because usually that's not a that's not a like showcase kind of deal. It's more just rehab. And I'd usually imagine I'd be working with animals that are not really wanting to be around a lot of people, who are not already workers of the shelter.
So let's say that, like, it's a person who, you know, it's the farmer who's called you over to play for their animals. It's not like a stranger.
Right.
I just want to know what your character looks like.
Oh, for sure. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I'm like often like, well, you know, I respect the sanctity of the animal psyche, which I do.
I love it.
Yes. But yes. So yeah, would they see me? They'd see me with my semi, you know, the guitar sounds good. It's a little busted. It's pretty old, maybe about 17 years old by now. And kind of like an ash gray on the front. Definitely have a beaded strap for this. I'm bringing in that hippie chic. Just like classic, maybe geometric patterns, but nothing appropriating, because I definitely would be super sensitive to something like that. That's definitely in Bly's character. And she has, you know, kind of like crazy-ish hair. It's bleach blonde with the tips being like a little blue. It used to be a really bright teal, but she's since washed it out. She's like, I'm done with it, let's do the next one. But she hasn't decided what the next color is. You know, she has like tawny skin, brownish skin, kind of spends a lot of time out in the sun, so definitely working a farmer's tan because she loves short sleeves with the animals. So, and then inside for gigs, she's just like, whatever. I mean, she'll wear something nice, but it's definitely not something high fashion, something like cool and funky, and definitely loves wearing a nice shiny headband, either gold or silver. For some reason, she's just been digging it this last few months. Just like, yeah.
Awesome. So you've got that definitely like indie chic vibe.
Yes.
Love it, love it. So today, let's assume that you have been called to, that you actually work for a couple of different vets in addition to the shelters, you know, that you've got animal therapy and you are at one of the vets that you normally go to. You've got two or three, they're, you know, medium to high-end places, like places that'll do therapy for not only dogs, cats, parakeets. And in this case, you've actually been working with this parakeet for a little while now. It knows you. This bird is happy to see you, which is more than you can say when its owner comes back in to take it home. For some reason, some of the animals get really, really attached, but the owner loves you, and the owner just wants to regale you and the vet with like 20 minutes of its parakeet's latest antics at home. And although like it never really wants to leave, it just loves it so much. And the owner, you know, he would love if he could buy a CD of your music to play, you know, in off times, just as like a soothing thing. And really it's just for the parakeet, Black Pirate Roberts.
My favorite.
You know, it would be so good for him. Just for him. Just for the parakeet. Totally just for the parakeet.
Just for the parakeet. I absolutely believe the owner. You know, I definitely give this person a little bit of a side eye, but of course, like, I love making people happy, and if people are enjoying my music, I would love to. No money needed. I definitely have an extra CD, my latest demo in my bag. It's like, this has been like kind of my spiritual, almost Enya vibe. I'm gonna pretend that Enya exists in this world, or an equivalent.
Nice. So he's very excited. Presses some money into your hand, whether you want it or not. You must be paid for your art and your labor.
You're too sweet.
He's actually a pretty good guy. He's just really obsessed with this bird.
No judgment.
So the gentleman who, you know, packs up the CD very carefully, packs up Dread Pirate Roberts very carefully, you know, and as he's talking about how excited he is for the music, and Dread Pirate Roberts is, and the vet tech is new and is kind of asking him about the bird, and he's like, well, yes, it's Dread Pirate Roberts. They're all named Dread Pirate Roberts. And gives her kind of the rundown of how every parakeet he's ever had in his entire life has been named Dread Pirate Roberts.
Oh, it's a family name, you see.
Mm-hmm. And as he walks out and you're packing up your instrument, you get a call on your cell. And it's Seth. And you know Seth from your days back in the foster house at Miss Lacey's. While y'all have kept in touch, you don't see him all that often. He wasn't part of your core group. He was kind of like a few years younger than you and, you know, kids. You like to hang out with the older kids, but they're a drag.
Yeah. He thought he was cool, but he, a little bit annoying.
Yeah. But he, you know, he's grown into like a non-annoying person.
Good.
But Seth calls and he actually sounds a little bit like worried and anxious, and he's like,
Bly, I need your help. Something's happened at the house and I can't get in touch with Miss Lacey.
What happened? Can you describe what, anything? What's going on?
No, really, put that down. I can't, like, don't eat that. It would just be easier if you came over. Do you mind? I can explain it to you at the house. Like, that would just be...
Sure, you're there now? You're at Lacey's?
Yeah.
Okay. Should I let the others know?
Yeah, if you... Like, I know that you still hang out with Siobhan, right?
Yeah. She and I work together.
Oh, that's so cool. If you could give her a call for me, please, while I... What did I say about hitting? No hitting.
Okay, yeah, you gotta handle the children?
Yes. Okay. Yes, the children.
Right. Sometimes I forget if it's, you know, humans or animals. All right, yeah, I'll definitely get back to you as soon as possible, for sure.
Okay, great, thanks. Just, if you can meet me at the house.
Yeah, I'll call Siobhan. I'm like, okay, well, shit. I feel it drop in my stomach. Just the thought of anything being wrong with Miss Lacey is like... Not even anything I anticipated before. It makes my throat kind of start closing up and I'm really scared. I'll leave the vet's office if I'm done for the day, and as soon as I'm outside, I'm gonna call Siobhan.
Okay, and on that note, we are gonna jump over to Noah. And Noah, you've had a pretty normal day so far, work day. You are a prosecutor, you work for the city. So tell me about what it looks like when you're working a case, your normal day on the job. Tell me about what you look like.
Well, I am about 6 foot tall. I dress as well as my income will allow as a prosecutor. I don't have the money that these, you know, defense attorneys can pull in. So my suits are nice and I take care of them really well, but I still look at stuff like Armani and everything and wish that I was in that zip code, but I'm not. And I am sitting at my desk getting ready to go into court in about 2 hours. And in front of me is a croissant sandwich that my assistant, Miss Russell, brought in, even though I had specifically said for her to get me a egg McMuffin. And I don't know how many more of these mistakes I can take because I specifically said Egg McMuffin. And I really need to be on my A game, and things need to be in the right place for me to be able to do this properly. And this croissant sandwich, I just fucking can't. And there's no hash brown. And I'm not sure why. That's the meal. The sandwich is secondary to the fucking hash brown, and it's not here. So I'm trying really hard. She's a new assistant, and I want to give her the benefit of the doubt, but I need these things to be taken care of properly.
Okay. Well, your assistant, Miss Russell, it turns out has given your Egg McMuffin to one of the other prosecutors in the office. Luckily enough, this mix-up was just a minor blip in your day. And she actually comes over, and Patricia is your, I wouldn't say she's your, like, core rival at the office. And Patricia definitely wouldn't say that, because you are not in her league.
She's a better dresser, isn't she?
Well, you know, it's important to know what your strengths are and to play to them. So she is immaculately dressed at all times.
I hate her.
Maybe a little overly fond of the 80s power shoulders, but for some reason it really works on her. And she drops the Egg McMuffin and hash brown on your desk. And it's like, oh, I see that your breakfast got mixed up with my breakfast.
Oh, it did? I hadn't noticed.
It's super important to start your day as you want to go on with it. So I always have my Gruyere and honey roasted ham on croissant. But I suppose you can forgive Miss Russell. She is new.
I think she's trying her best. I do. I didn't even notice, to be honest. It's early. I've got a case coming, so I'm trying to work through all that.
Yeah. I wouldn't expect you to really, like, you know, always pay attention to the details, but I'm sure you'll figure it out eventually.
I'm sure I will.
And Patricia walks away with her $13 croissant sandwich.
Asshole.
And as she passes Ms. Russell, she just whispers at her a little bit, and you see Ms. Russell, like, nodding. She's making notes in her little notepad. She's got 17 post-its on her station. She adds a new one. Never forget Patricia's breakfast.
I call Miss Russell in after that happens.
Yes, Mr. Hurst? I am so, so sorry about your breakfast. I swear it'll never happen again.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Look, what did she say to you? Was it just, don't mess up my breakfast? Or, I mean, did she say anything about me? Was there any interaction?
No, she just said that if I went to the fast food place, that there was an amazing cafe two doors down that would give me a discount if I mentioned her name.
Of course she did, yeah. Okay, well, you're doing a great job. Don't worry about it. I didn't notice. Like Patricia, she can be very persnickety about what happens. So just try really hard in the future to make sure that everybody gets the right breakfast so that you don't have to deal with any blowback from her. Like I said, she's the worst anyway, with that kind of stuff. So we want to just keep everybody happy, but you're doing a great job. You really are.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Well, while I'm here, actually, I just got a message. It may have been like 20 minutes ago or so, but you know, it's just been really busy this morning.
Time's relative, I guess.
And the line at the drive-thru was actually really, your court date has been pushed to next week.
Oh, that would have been nice to know. But I get it. I understand. I'll just put these notes away. Okay. So it's been pushed, you're saying. Are you absolutely sure?
Mm-hmm. I guess the judge had something else come up. They really didn't give me any details. It was just rescheduled. And so,
okay.
it'll be, you know, 3 p.m. on a Friday is your new date.
They're going to start the case on a Friday.
That's what they told me.
Okay. Thank you for that message. I appreciate it. I appreciate all you're doing here. Is there any other messages I maybe have missed or that came during the breakfast hour that I need to know about?
Let me just double check real quick. And she starts flipping through. It's less of like a set of messages than it is like a sheaf. It's a maybe like the thickness of a ream of paper. A lot of messages. Not sure anyone has gotten their messages for maybe a day or two. But yes, I'm so sorry, and thank you for suggesting that I look for some more, because Officer Griffin called you. And I'm sorry, I think this one might have been urgent, but you know, it was only from 10 minutes ago, so great.
What did the officer have to say?
He said to call him back.
Miss Reed, I'm gonna call him back. Can you close my door on your way out? I just need a minute.
Why? Sure.
I call. Thank you. You're doing great.
And she, you know, she leaves, closes your door on her way out, and goes back to her desk.
I ring up the officer and, you know, think about my life choices as I'm dialing the phone.
Griffin.
Hey, I heard you. This is Noah Hurst over at the courthouse. Anyway, I heard you called. It was urgent.
Yeah, I didn't. Your new assistant is a little, so I didn't want to leave a message.
Yeah, not leaving a message, it's all the same to her. I'll give you my text. Just text me in the future. It's better.
Yeah. You know, Noah, you've been a friend of the department, so I thought I'd give you a heads up that we got a call. Zach, you know, the other guys thought it was probably a prank, but... Miss Lacey, you knew her, right?
Yeah, of course. Is she okay?
We got a call to report a missing person.
Oh.
But it had only been a few hours, so you know how it is. We can't do anything for days. But you've been good to us. I'd like to be good to you in return. So I thought I'd give you a heads up, let you know something may be up around there. You'll probably want to go check it out.
Well, luckily, that's definitely. Thank you so much for the phone call. I appreciate it. And like I said, just text me. I would probably get the message quicker from Carrier Pigeon at this point. So just whatever other function of communication you want to use, we can do that. But thank you. I will go and get in touch with Miss Lacey or whoever's at the home right now to figure out what's going on. I appreciate it.
Great. And hangs up. So
I grab my briefcase, I walk out, and I say, I need to run an errand, and since there's no court case coming up, I'm going to just go and work at home, keep Patricia, you know, happy, and if forward my calls, you know, you press... *89, it'll send it to my mobile phone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, *89.
Yes.
Oh, of course. Nine. Yes, absolutely. I'll forward your calls.
Not 86, because you did that last week and that sent it to nowhere. 89.
Yeah.
Okay.
89. All right. I've got it right here on this post-it.
You know that there's digital things out there now that like will clean. Never mind. Thank you. You're doing a great job. I'm going to go now. Thank you. I leave.
Have a good one.
I will. Fucking cold hash browns suck. I go into the elevator and leave.
Okay, so you all converge on Miss Lacey's house, and it's a medium-sized house for an older woman who ostensibly is the only adult living there. It's kept in really good shape, and it brings back really fond memories for all of you. The time that y'all spent here when you were foster kids was actually some of the best times of your childhood. You remember that Miss Lacey was caring and loving, and that she kind of like hit that magical balance between too strict and not strict enough. So it's less of a surprise than it could be that as you walk up to the house, that it's the four of you walking up almost the exact same time. Because the four of you, you know, y'all were the ones. You spent every waking moment together, for good and for bad. You always knew that you had each other's backs, and while, like, the intervening years have maybe brought y'all apart a little bit, as the four of you walk up to this door, it is almost like a flashback of coming in to come home. And then, what could be like an idyllic, kind of, like, great moment, you hear a crash off in the background. It's like a voice yelling, like, "No, no, it's okay. Everybody's okay. Just don't come in the kitchen right this second."
I see things have not changed. How are all you doing? It's been a while since I've seen most of you.
Wow. Yeah, it's things have been flowing, you know. I've been kind of hanging out every once in a while with Siobhan, and life's all right. You look kind of tired, though, Noah. How you doing?
I am tired. I'm tired. Yeah, definitely. Just kind of ready for maybe a little vacation. I'm worried now about this, of course. Does anybody know anything? Did any of us? All I heard was missing person from a police officer friend at the court, but they can't search?
I heard something about hospital. I don't know. I got the details are very vague.
Hospital? What? I just got word that I should come here, and I let Siobhan know.
Yeah.
They didn't say anything about that.
I mean, maybe we should go in and you know, find out what's going on.
Bly's totally freaked out right now. She's like, okay, yeah. And she kind of drops a little bit of that relaxed air that was just there. She's walking straight toward the door.
Okay. As you go in the front door, nothing seems overly wrong. It's a little messy, but that's also pretty normal for Miss Lacey's house. Because as all of you know, like a half a dozen kids still live there. You're not quite sure how she gets so many foster kids, but the system's always kind of overloaded, and she takes such good care of them and is such a like good foster parent that they're not willing to let her go or go against her really in any way. So she's had a steady stream of fosters for decades. And as you follow the noise towards the back, you realize that Seth made some lunch, which is great. That it was only two of the dishes that fell and shattered on the floor, and none of them were the plate of sandwiches that he had put together. So even better. But the kids are all around the table eating in various states of disarray, and he is sweeping up in the kitchen when he turns and notices that y'all are there. He's like, oh, thank you so much for coming, Bly, and bringing Siobhan, and oh, wow. B and Noah, I didn't necessarily expect to see y'all here, but I guess it shouldn't surprise me that the four of you would be here together.
What's going on?
What's happening, Seth?
Hey, kids, go ahead and finish up your lunch. And then if, you know, Sarah and Drew, if y'all could head up clean up at the end. And he points to, you know, the two oldest. And they're pretty used to it. They're like, yeah, whatever. And he leads y'all towards the back. And he's like, oh, well, you know that I come over here pretty often. Kids know me. Like, I never really left the house, I guess.
Right.
After everybody else did. But Miss Lacey was basically my mom, so I didn't really want to leave. And I've been helping take care of the kids and coming in like every week or so to help around the house. They called me this morning because she left yesterday to run an errand and she never came home.
Who's they? The kids?
Yeah, the kids called. And they didn't want to call the cops because they're afraid that they'll get split up and sent to different homes.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Did they say what the errand was?
She hadn't told them. She was only supposed to be gone a couple of hours, which, you know, that's pretty normal.
That's normal, yeah.
I think they figured she was going out grocery shopping or something.
Well, the cops know, right, Noah? So...
I mean, I called the cops because, you know, you need to call the cops when somebody goes missing. But they told me that it had to be 48 to 72 hours and da-da-da. And I guess she... You know how she does that thing where, like, if one of the kids gets in trouble, she goes to court with them? So she doesn't have the best reputation with the cops. And so I don't know how much of a priority they're going to make it, even if they were to actually look into it. But I did call around the hospitals to see if maybe she'd gotten in an accident and they just, you know, like, hadn't called her emergency contact or something. But there's nothing I can really find so far. And I called Agatha. She's been Miss Lacey's best friend for, I don't know, their whole lives, like the eternity. So I thought she might have said something, but she wants me to go over there, but I can't. Like, the kids need to get taken care of. But I thought maybe, I mean, y'all were always, like, figuring stuff out when we were kids. So, and I knew, like, you know, maybe you could help.
You want us to investigate. That's what you're asking, right?
Yeah. I mean, it might be as simple as, like, and then you just see Seth's face, like, fall. There's nothing simple. It could be he can't figure out anything that would not be terrible, and he doesn't. He's, like, on the verge of tears.
I go, well, we all know what stores she used to go to because she still does the exact same thing she's always done. We can at least go talk to Agatha and then possibly go to some of the places like the laundromat and the...
Her favorite market.
Her favorite market and all that. And see if they have maybe try to build some kind of timeline. I guess we start with Agatha?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I know that, like, if it's y'all, then you'll figure it out and she'll be back home in no time. Totally needs to be back home in no time.
Yeah.
Until then, are you okay staying here until we figure this out?
Oh, yeah, that's no problem. Like, when Miss Lacey and Miss Agatha wanted a break anyway, I would, like, come over and spend the night and stuff like that. It's really not a problem. I just, you know, it's just been really stressful.
I get it.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely don't hesitate to let us know if you need additional help here, okay? It's not a competition. We're all in this together.
Yeah.
I knew I did the right thing calling you, Bly. Y'all are the best. You're the best back then, you're the best now.
I give him a hug. Just be like, it's all right, buddy. And I'm glancing over at the kids. Are they still in the room? Can they hear us?
No.
Okay.
They definitely, like...
They listened to him. Yeah.
They did. This once. And you get the sense that the two older kids know something is going on, but they're keeping, like, the other kids kind of occupied and distracted. So that, you know, you don't have a full-on meltdown of children of various ages.
Yeah. Oh, the babies.
But yeah, in the overnight that they randomly spent, no one got a really weird haircut. If there were, like, Sharpie incidents, they have been taken care of.
Well, I do think that time is of the essence, so I think we should head out if we're gonna start tracking all this stuff down.
Yeah,
agreed.
Well, thank you so much. And if I hear anything, I will give you a call.
Excellent. And seriously, don't strain yourself. This is it's a lot of work you're taking on, okay?
Yeah, thanks. And, you know, I'm not totally alone. Like, if things get really bad, I'll just, you know, call the keepers. And y'all remember, like, it's like kind of like a little like, ugh.
Yeah. I was like, that sounded creepy.
But it's mostly that the four of you together were, you know, your own clique. And then there were some other kids, various ages. Like, it was just another clique. When y'all weren't necessarily on the best of terms. It's not like they were bad people. They just were never as good as y'all.
It's not shocking.
Mm-hmm. So I'll roll my eyes when I hear that. I'm like, okay. All right, Seth.
Let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Yeah.
I'm sure it won't.
All right. Well, I'm ready to head out. Check on Agatha. Hopefully she just knows exactly where Miss Lacey is.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Okay.
And Seth tells you that she said she wanted him to meet her at the house. So gives you the address and all of that business.
Let's go then.
Let's say goodbye to Seth. Say goodbye, children.
You just get a chorus of like,
all right.
Like, do I know you?
No.
So, yeah, and y'all head over to Agatha's. And I am going to say that this is a good time to end it.
Ooh.
Okay.
Cool.
Mystery upon mystery.
Yes, mystery indeed.
You know, it's been like however many years of playing. And I'm like, how do people sign off? Like, how do we end these things? So, okay, I'm going to end it there on that note. And thank you very much for joining us for episode one of The Foundlings. I have been Pooja, your MC. And you can find me on Twitter at LADaisyGirl. That's L-A-D-E-S-I girl. Pretty much all the other socials is Forgotten Saves. Mac, where can the people find you?
Right behind them. And if they missed me being right behind them, because I totally was, they can find me online everywhere as at Strange Like That, the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebooks.
Hey, you can find me on Twitter at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also find my music and Wes's amazing sound effects if you subscribe to Plate Mail Games through BattleBards.
Hello, I'm Saint or Saint Spider, and you can find me on the Twitter if you would like to chat about the TTRPGs and whatnots. The whatnots are politics, I'm sorry. At Saint Spider TV, that's SaintSpiderTV. Thanks.
Hello, I'm Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games on Twitter. You can find the show at 12 Sided Stories, the number 12 and then Sided Stories on Twitter and on Instagram. But I'm going to be honest, I'm horrible at Instagram. You can also find us over on Twitch, usually Tuesday nights. Come over there and follow us. We do different shows for just Call of Cthulhu or whatever that we stream once a week. You can also find us on our website, which is all spelled out, 12sidestories.com, where you can find all of our great shows. If you want to help out the podcast, definitely check out our Patreon or our Ko-fi. Give us a shout out or give us a review. Any of those things or all of them is awesome. We really appreciate you listening. Thank you, Pooja, for running. I'm very excited to see where this mystery goes. And we will see everybody next week with more The Foundlings. Bye.
Bye.